to discuss that and more. Steve Weiss, NFL Network, NFL.com, joins us on the Metro PCS hotline. You follow Steve on Twitter at Weiss89. You can see him every morning on NFL AM 6 to 10 a.m. Remind you also that NFL Network, the only place to catch every preseason game, NFL.com/NFL Network for a full schedule of those rebroadcasts. Steve, always a pleasure. What have you seen from the Dolphins so far this preseason?
Well, you know, again, it's a team. I'm buying in. I think it's a talented team. They've got to put some pieces together. It's hard to tell exactly where they are because, you know, we're only two games into the preseason, so the third game should probably give us a better idea. But, you know, I like the physicality that they're playing with. I think they need to ratchet up a little bit more. I think Tannehill, you know, is showing the signs, and there's talent there. So, you know, you put those things together, and then when you execute, once the games begin, I think you've got a good shot. I think the Dolphins have a good shot.
What's the sleep schedule like for you at this point? I mean, that show comes on at 6 o'clock here. You guys are in California. What's a day in the life of Steve Weiss like these days?
Yeah, we're in California. We get to the newsroom between 11:30 and midnight, you know, to prep for a four-hour show. We're on air at 3 in the morning. So, you know, I sleep whenever. Some days, you know, because on weekends you go back to the normal schedule. So Mondays you're thrown off a little bit. So you might sleep kind of like, you know, a parent with a newborn. 3 hours, and you know, at one part of the day, 2 hours in another, and 2 hours in another, and then, you know, at certain points, you come in, you stay up until 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and sleep until about 10 o'clock at night. You know, it's all over the place, and people have been working overnight shifts for the longest. And I just happen to be lucky enough to talk football, so I'm good.
Steve, a lot has been talked about, obviously, about the Dolphins, what they did in the offseason. I'm obviously excited about what happened on the offensive side, but it's been some real good entertainment on the defensive side, too, with Brent Grimes and Ellerbe and Willer. What side of the ball do you think the Dolphins made the best moves on?
Well, I mean, I think they did on the defensive side of the ball because that's where they, you know, they decided younger and more athletic. That's where some of the changes made. I used to work in Atlanta. I covered Brent Grimes, and he came in as an undrafted kid from Shippensburg State. You know, they shipped him off to NFL Europe to get better. He was somebody who just wouldn't give up. Because as you see, he's a small guy. You'd never guess this guy plays in the NFL, but he's one of the most athletic players I've ever seen. And then once he worked with great coaches like, you know, Hall of Famer Emmett Thomas, his technique, once he got the technique down, he meshed it with his athleticism. Just an absolutely fantastic player. I hated that he got hurt. But he's a great talent, and I like the fact, again, they got younger. They went out and got Deion Jordan as a pass rusher. You don't know what it's going to be, but, you know, you look at some of that talent. I mean, Rashad Jones, some of the younger players there, I think that side of the ball, you know, is going to be good enough athletically to generate turnovers, to give the offense short fields when it's struggling against a good defense, as to where at the very least they can get field goals, get points on the board, and give itself an opportunity to win.
Yeah, and on offense, Mike Wallace, he's only, you know, he's referred to as a guy that can only run 9 routes. We've seen a lot of different things from him since he's been down here. What was your impression of Mike coming when he went into free agency, and what type of player do you think Mike Wallace is?
I'm a big Mike Wallace fan. I know a lot of people have that impression because he's a fast guy. You know, everyone says he blows the top off of a defense. But go back and watch highlights of Mike Wallace. All you see are him catching hitches, the drag routes, slant, and then taking it to the house, and then using that speed. Yeah, he can hit those 9 routes, but he clearly has a much bigger route tree now. He's got to learn to run the West Coast offense route tree, and that's not easy for somebody who's used to doing things a certain way, like in Pittsburgh, where they've got a quarterback who extends plays in Ben Roethlisberger, and some of the opportunities to get open happen that way when everything is just kind of a jailbreak. But I'm a big Mike Wallace fan, and I think, you know, once he gets that West Coast tree down and gets that timing down, he's going to be very, very difficult to stop.
Steve, a lot of discussion this past week after a couple of hits in the preseason games last week, one taking place down here with our tight end Dustin Keller, and it just seems like a lot of the offensive players are saying, you know, hit me in the head, don't hit me in my knees. How much of a role do you think this is going to play on indecision of defensive players come regular season?
You know what? You're hearing more and more about it. You know, and OJ, you know, as an offensive player, you too, Troy, as former offensive players, you'd probably rather take a shot to your head than your knee.
Absolutely,
yep, absolutely.
I haven't talked to a player, and when we heard about this emphasis, and the big hit that really stirred the conversation last year came from Ed Reed. Ed Reed is not a dirty player. And there was a shot where he hit somebody with a shoulder pad in the chest area. Perfect technique, got fined. Now, he won the appeal of his fine, but from that point, that's when everybody on defense said, uh-oh, we're not going to be able to hit anybody except basically in the thighs and the waist. And as a defensive player, you know, you take a shot at somebody there, you're going to whiff on tackles, you're going to catch a thigh, you're going to get concussed. So now guys are going to be going low. And people predicted this. I talked to so many defenders who predicted this. And it got to the point, guys like Ryan Clark to the Steelers, and they said you really have no choice, because now if you're going to give yourself a 15-yard penalty, give your team a 15-yard penalty in the throes of a game trying to make a play, just go low. And it's something that a lot of people talked about. They are, for the long-term benefit of the game, guys are going to be suffering a lot more orthopedic injuries. The league is saying we're going to trade orthopedic and lower extremity injuries for long-term head injuries, neck injuries, and things like that. And I think that scares the life out of a player, because offensive players, or players know they've got a 5 or 6 year shelf life. You blow out a knee, at the best, it's going to take 1 year off of your earning potential. Look at someone like Brent Grimes. He didn't have an injury, but he blew out his Achilles in a contract year. Okay, now he's on a 1 year deal with Miami. He's got to come out and play well and stay healthy. So again, I think guys are defensive players, they are kind of taking the attitude of Swearinger, even though I think he had committed to go low before the completion of the ball even took place.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good point right there, Steve. That's what I was going to say. What about a modification of something like that, where a guy make him more defenseless, right, where you can't see that coming and you don't have to hit him down there? I understand if Keller's coming at him, straight at him, he goes low then. What about a guy that can't be – that you don't see that defender coming and going low?
That's where the tweak needs to come. Okay, Keller couldn't see it come. He was defenseless. His head was turned. He did not have the opportunity to put his head on a swivel. Then you look at the John Bostic hit against the Chargers, you know, the Bears linebacker, where everyone says that looks like a clean hit. It's not a clean hit in terms of the fact that he dropped the crown of his helmet, but that was not a defenseless receiver. You see him, he catches that bubble screen, he makes two football steps, one laterally to catch it, and then he's moving forward. He squares his shoulders to move towards you like he's going upfield. That's where I think if a guy gets caught in the chest area or up in the shoulder area and it's a clean hit, gets it with a shoulder pad or the face mask, you know, what they're called, the hairline of the helmet, that should not be a penalty. So it's so tough, because what you're seeing receivers do now as well is the second they catch the ball, they go across the middle, they're getting low. Mm-hmm. So then if a defender gets low, then you're having head-to-head contact as well. The defender's getting flagged. There's too much gray area. And Brian Dawkins, one of the best safeties I've ever seen play, a very physical safety, told me one of the reasons he retired was because he stepped as a defensive player into the shade of gray. And that indecision could cause more harm to him and an offensive player than what he knows exactly what he's going to do.
It's tough right now. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And a lot of people thinking, you know, at some point you might have like a baseball strike zone sized area on a guy, you know, above
That's
the knees to the letters where you're going to be able to hit, especially when they're defenseless. Interesting stuff. It'll be a great conversation moving forward. You get the feeling throughout the entire season. Steve Wyche, NFL Network on NFL AM every morning 6 to 10 on Twitter at Wyche89. Steve, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, all the best, guys.